Is your website pretty?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
You got what I need.
Mind your business.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the minds at Mind Development and Design and our friends at Fresh Roasted Hosting. Thank you for listening to this podcast on iTunes. Thank you for listening on Stitcher. Thank you for the magnanimous interest on Pinterest. Thank you, Whiff Roasters of Lidditz, PA, for keeping me caffeinated. I got to say, it's been an interesting week for me. I had no idea how much David Letterman's retirement last week was going to affect me emotionally. And I don't blame you if you're laughing right now. I kid you not. I got weepy. Seriously. I'm 47. Going to be 48 in August. And I remember when he had his Emmy Award-winning morning show that was critically favorable but lasted one season because of poor viewership. That was around 1980, 1981. And the only reason I remember it is because a couple of days when I was home, quote-unquote, sick from school, I watched it, and it was pretty doggone funny. Of course, I was reading Mad Magazine a lot at the time, so, I mean, that was my kind of humor right there. I remember specifically in eighth grade being homesick from school and stumbling across his morning show and a fake commercial that they had for using a cup of coffee as a doorstop. Yeah. And as I'm sure you can imagine, it didn't work so well as a doorstop. And his program really didn't work in the mornings. I mean, that kind of humor, it definitely geared towards late night. I remember watching the first episode of his new late night program with Bill Murray as his first guest and the Rainbow Grill peacock dancers doing the intro. I mean, it was really different. Larry Bud Melman actually came out and did the initial introduction there. It wasn't the traditional band introduction that we got used to over the years. I mean, it was very different. It was cutting edge. It was different. This was the show that gave really that really turned the tables on late night television. It gave the alternative rock band REM their first national TV exposure. I remember watching that program in 1982, and you can see the whole thing for yourself on YouTube. It's really quite awesome. All these years later, it's still very cool. To be completely transparent, I haven't watched much of David Letterman's late night show since about 1995. I mean, occasionally I'd watch it, but not long after he went from NBC to CBS in that whole public relations mess. At that point, for me, Letterman seemed to lose some of his edge when he went to CBS. And in fact, I felt he had started to lose his edge in the last year or two that he was on NBC. But all that aside, I always had a soft spot for his 80s episodes. In fact, I found some of his early 80s episodes on YouTube. And you know what? He built the foundation of his show on a lot of what we talk about here on this podcast. Yes, I'm a David Letterman fan, and I've looked for a reason to celebrate him on the podcast, and I've found it. By the way, he's the longest tenured late night TV show host in history, even longer than Johnny Carson. And you know, we can learn a thing or two from how Letterman did things. So, in honor of my favorite late night TV show host ever, hey, this is a little gratuitous, but at least I admit it, right? Here's a list of some things we can learn from David Letterman as a late night TV host that can legitimately help your business. In fact, to honor Dave, we're going to make this a top 10 list. Don't you like how I say to honor Dave, like I'm on a first name basis with him? If I'm so fortunate enough for him to be listening right now, thank you for 33 years of greatness. So, from the home office in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, here are the top 10 things you can learn from David Letterman to help your business. Number 10, don't make excuses. Make the most of what you have to work with. Hey, in the early days, Letterman had a very small set and very little clout as far as getting guests on the show. He was fortunate with Bill Murray as his first guest, but he still had to work at it. Creativity was the key. He had people like Kmar, the discount magician. He had Julia Child, but he had to dig deep to fill time sometimes and came up with some really cool ideas, like finding a professional welder to come in and do a movie review of Flashdance. See, apparently the star and dancer, Jennifer Beals, was a welder in a steel mill here in Pennsylvania who aspires to be a dancer in that movie. Sorry, I never saw the movie, never really was moved to do so, but I'm aware of its existence. Anyway, it was released in April 1983, and Letterman got a professional welder to come in on the show and basically dissect the way she depicted welding in the movie Flashdance, and just how the way she depicted welding was off base and how she was guilty of major violations in the real world. You know, one of the coolest things is, you know, she would have had to have put her hair back. You know, pulling off the welding mask and flipping the hair around and all that? No, doesn't cut it in the real world. That hair would get burned off. This is great stuff, though. And the truth is, he didn't have the resources that Johnny Carson did at the time, so he had to make the most of what he had. Necessity is indeed the mother of invention. Number 9, take some risks, for crying out loud. They won't all work. But what works will be worth it. The aforementioned example would definitely constitute a risk. So would stupid pet tricks. So would the late night monkey cam and the late night thrill cam. So would Dave dressing up in a suit of Alka-Seltzer and being dunked into a big vat of water. So would Dave being dressed up in a Velcro suit and being stuck to a Velcro wall, which all of which he did. So would dropping things off a 5-story tower or crushing things with a steamroller. You know, work with what you have. You'll be amazed at what you can come up with. In your business, don't think about what you can't do. Think about what you can do. These were risks that could have resulted in failures for Letterman, but instead, they were basically all of us being able to live vicariously through him and see some of these goofball ideas come to fruition. We could finally see what would happen. I mean, come on, all of us had wondered what would happen if you ran over this with a steamroller. I wonder how a watermelon would look if you dropped it off a 5-story tower and it went splat. We got to see it in slow motion, thanks to Letterman. We could finally see what would happen there. And speaking of risks, you know, the early appearances of Howard Stern? Wow. That was really groundbreaking stuff because Stern spoke out against NBC Radio both while he was there and after he had moved on. And this is on a late night show on the NBC network. One of my favorite early interview bits with Howard Stern is when Letterman asks him about being on AM radio. And Howard Stern says, "It's a dying format. They have me on here because they need me more than I need them. Nobody listens to AM radio anymore." I mean, it's... look it up on YouTube. It is absolutely jaw-dropping, the honesty that was coming through there. And again, it was a risk that really paid off in the long run. And now, number 8, relish your underdog role. If you're a new or independent business, or both, a new independent business, you are an underdog. Love it. Embrace it. You have opportunities you can pursue without the typical corporate constraints. There's BS that you don't have to put up with because you're in control. Letterman was the underdog when he started out. But he was always forward-thinking, thanks, of course, to Paul Schaefer and the whole staff of the show. First example that comes to my mind is the 1983 show, October 6th, to be exact, where REM made their national television debut. Absolutely killer performances of Radio Free Europe off the Murmur album, and the first public performance of South Central Rain, I'm Sorry, which is off their second album, Reckoning, which hadn't been recorded yet, by the way. Reckoning had not been recorded at that point, and the song didn't even have a name when they performed it. Mike Mills, the bassist, said the song was so new it didn't have a name. I remember staying up late to watch this show and seeing it when it aired live, and I really, you got that feeling that you were in on a secret. You knew something that somebody else didn't know. REM, of course, wound up being the first alternative band to break into the mainstream. But again, relish your underdog role and do all that you can with it. Never, never, never underestimate what you can do as an underdog. You might just come you might just uncover some real gems. Number seven, find your audience and serve them. The REM example is a great example of this, as are the aforementioned goofball ideas like crushing things with a steamroller or, one of my favorites, opening an early show segment with a scene of Dave teaching Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead how to play guitar. I think it was showing him how to play Proud Mary. Absolutely priceless, especially since Jerry Garcia, may he sincerely rest in peace, he so willingly played along because there was no ego issue there, and he completely saw the humor in it. This was not Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This was not the celebration of celebrity. This was the proverbial tearing down of that wall that seems to create and elevate celebrity. We're all human beings. Dave would have none of that in the early days, and he found the right guests and the right approach to serve his audience. His audience was mostly late high school and college age people, and most of us wound up growing older right there with him. He changed over time, but he was still able to retain much of his core audience. In the 80s, though, Letterman was at his prime and seemed to know exactly the kind of humor that we as his audience really wanted, and exactly what bands to have on to appease us, what guests to have on, etc. He was connected and made us feel connected. Number six, share information you find interesting. Share a part of yourself. Letterman always had an absurdist sense of humor. It's one of the things I always loved about him. I love absurdity. He and his staff would find real-life information that they fashioned into segments like dumb ads and small-town news. You can see all of those on YouTube, too. They are priceless. This was really powerful stuff in connecting with his audience. All of you are capable of doing this. You just have to find the information. What do you find interesting? Find it and share it. Again, really powerful in connecting with your audience. One of my favorite early episodes was one that celebrated the town of Bad Axe, Michigan. I mean, just from the name of it, you know, yes, there is some juvenile humor in there. Who cares? It's great. Why was he highlighting this town? Simple, because the name sounded both cool and humorous. Bad Axe. Where are you from? I'm from Bad Axe. I wouldn't even know about this town if not for Letterman highlighting it. And it's also another example of him finding something that he found interesting. And obviously his staff found interesting because they all jumped in on it and shared it with his audience, an audience who also found the name interesting and amusing. There's no big amusement park there. There's no real major points of interest. Just a bunch of people like you and me who happen to live in a town with a really cool name. The thread that is running through all of this that we all should be aware of is that being an underdog with limited resources, Letterman wound up building a reputation by letting his offbeat personality shine and using his and his staff's creativity to create entertainment segments that otherwise would have never seen the light of day. They took risks. It's not what you have to work with, it's what you do with what you have to work with. Think about that every time you feel overwhelmed when trying to promote your business and you feel like you just don't have the resources. They're there. What are you doing with them? When we come back, we will finish this top 10 list with more doses of creativity and humanity.
Chicks dig dudes with algorithmic integrity, and dudes dig chicks with social semantics, if you get my drift. Can you feel the cyber love? We'll be right back after these messages.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDnD.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
Welcome back to the Mind Your Business podcast, where we're counting down the top 10 things you can learn from David Letterman to help your business. Bear in mind that this all comes from the fact that when Late Night with David Letterman debuted in February of 1982, there was no one who had left a lasting mark on late night television other than Johnny Carson. Letterman was a major underdog, and many so-called experts didn't believe he had the slightest chance of succeeding, much less becoming the longest tenured host in late night TV history. So what does all this mean for you and your business? When you feel like an underdog and like you have no chance in this SEO and internet marketing game, the success of David Letterman is a reminder to all of us, to all of you, and to all of us, that with a little thought, creativity, and true heart, we can find our audience and connect with them. That, my friends, is the whole key to making your website, your blog, and your social media work together with real synergy. I know Zim is going to chide me relentlessly at the office for using that word. It's true, though. Synergy. So, we are ready for the top five of the top 10 things you can learn from David Letterman to help your business. Number five, find your audience and uplift them. Serve them. This one is so very important. They all are important, but this one is huge. One of the most important things that Letterman knew when he started is that even though he came on right after The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Carson's audience was not his audience. It never was. Maybe a small portion of it. But Letterman appealed to a different audience. When Carson's audience was turning off the TV to go to bed after The Tonight Show, Letterman's audience was a younger demographic that was staying up later. His brand of comedy was much better suited to late night than his original morning show, of course. You know, the dry humor, the Alka-Seltzer suit, the Velcro suit, the moments of whimsy. See, Letterman's audience, had different expectations. They were not enamored with the celebrity aspect of Hollywood like the older generation was, and Letterman's attitude towards celebrities was the perfect foil that his audience was looking for, that we all were looking for at that point in time. One of the best examples, and I remember when this episode aired, this is the stuff that makes me feel old. And I'm not old, but I kind of feel old because I've seen this guy through his entire career, and it's like his career's over. Wow, what happened? But I remember when this episode aired, and my friends and I, we couldn't believe what we were seeing because nobody did this. Supermodel Cheryl Teagues was a guest on his show. That shows my age right there. If you don't know who Cheryl Teagues is, look her up. Supermodel in the 80s. She was on Letterman's show to promote her clothing line that was being sold at Sears. This would have been fine for The Tonight Show, but Letterman wasn't interested in promotion. He was interested in entertainment and having fun with his guests. He had the nerve to ask the question that was on most of our minds. So, in the middle of her pitch for her Sears clothing line, Dave broke the pitch with the aforementioned question when he asked Cheryl Teagues, "Do you really shop at Sears?" Obviously, this caught her off guard. And when she tried to say yes, she did shop at Sears, Dave didn't believe her for a minute. Most of us watching didn't believe her. You know, the curtain had been pulled, and we see who's behind the mighty Oz there. You know, Letterman was basically speaking for all of us. He knew his audience. And this resulted in a rift between him and Cheryl Teagues that only endeared him that much more to his audience, because he actually had the nerve to ask the question that was on all of our minds. So again, find your audience, know your audience, and serve them in what you do on your blog, on your website, how you communicate with them. Know who your audience is. Know their voice. Now, number four, you have a blank canvas. Use your blank canvas to paint the picture you want of your business. More importantly, to paint the honest picture of your business that everybody can already see. Just let them see it. Stop thinking about what you're supposed to be doing and start doing what you believe in. The aforementioned interview with Cheryl Teagues is a great example of this. Dave didn't ask the questions he was supposed to ask to be a placating late-night TV host. He asked what was really on his mind, which was what was really on his audience's mind. There was a connection there. He was an underdog with a limited budget, so he made use of everything at his disposal. He had a great staff of writers and a great sidekick in Paul Schaefer. There was a great interview with Paul Schaefer online a week or so before the last late night broadcast, where he was sharing what it was like in the early days when they were forming this idea of the show, and he first agreed to be the band leader on Late Night with David Letterman. And he said that from the very beginning, David Letterman wanted him to be more involved with the show than Doc Severinsen was as band leader on The Tonight Show with Carson. Schaefer said Letterman told him specifically, quote, "If you have something to say, say it. I don't care if I'm in the middle of a monologue or in the middle of an interview, just say it." See, Letterman wanted that spontaneity. He wanted to create a different atmosphere than what people were used to. And it goes back to what I mentioned earlier about taking risks. That in and of itself is a risk. He had the cameras follow him down the NBC hallways where he would routinely stop in and briefly talk to the Live at Five guests and crew. It took a lot of nerve to do that, but he wound up inadvertently promoting those shows while giving his own show that sense of reckless abandon, like anything could happen. He had a blank canvas because he had a low budget. There wasn't a lot that he could do. So he had to fill time. How are you going to fill time and keep it interesting? Take some chances. You have a blank canvas. What do you want to paint? He had a blank canvas and painted a picture that completely changed the late night TV game. He could have merely griped about his limited resources, but instead he and his staff painted an entirely new picture, the likes of which none of us had ever seen, and now really are pretty much the blueprint for late night television. Now, number three, don't take yourself too seriously. One of the cool things about Letterman is that he admits that he's really easily embarrassed, but he didn't let that stop him from doing some really memorable things, like the frequently aforementioned Alka-Seltzer suit, the Velcro suit where he became stuck to a Velcro wall, the suit of chips where he was dunked into a vat of chip dip. And my favorite, dropping things off a five-story tower. Always loved that. You can find all those on YouTube again, by the way. Just absolutely timeless stuff. There were also moments where jokes completely bombed, and he managed to get through them with a smile, all the while basically acknowledging that the jokes were really lame. You know, he was human. He was real. And he didn't take himself too seriously. You know, there was the bit where he worked at a drive-through window. I believe it was at Taco Bell. Some of the altercations were funny. Some of them weren't so much funny. But they were all there for better or for worse. He let his humanity show. And once again, didn't take himself too seriously. We've been taught for so many years, to not only put our best foot forward, which is good, but to basically paint a picture to our audience of ourselves and our business as being basically faultless. That's impossible, ladies and gentlemen, as we're all human beings, and quite frankly, when we don't take ourselves too seriously, some memorable moments usually are right close by. Another Dave, the late Dave Thomas of Wendy's, used this with great success as he became the face of his business, Wendy's. He was basically your next-door neighbor, grandfather guy, who happened to own one of the biggest burger franchises in the world. He was the owner who wasn't above putting on a paper hat and flipping a burger or sweeping the floor. He didn't take himself too seriously. He wasn't too good for everybody else. And that's actually a good lead-in to our next entry on the list. Show your heart and show your humanity. Show your heart and your humanity. Some of these entries admittedly bleed into each other, but doggone it, it has to be a top 10 list to do this right. We talk about this one a lot on our podcast. Let your heart and your human beingness show. When you look at all of the bits over the years that made Late Night with David Letterman memorable, those bits almost always showed heart and humanity. When Dave introduced REM for their national television debut in 1983, as mentioned earlier, he asked guitarist Peter Buck where the name REM came from. And Buck basically said, well, we found it in the dictionary and it didn't really mean anything to us, so we chose it as our name. Letterman just went on without missing a beat. Basically saying, okay, if that's what your answer is, so be it. He was accepting them for who they were. And if you watch it, obviously, they're young. I mean, they look like kids on that broadcast. They're young, obviously nervous. He kept things comfortable. He didn't push it too far. That was their answer, so be it. That's what your answer is. He went on without missing a beat. Same goes for stupid pet tricks. Dave obviously enjoyed it as much as we did and managed to keep the show moving even when the tricks weren't quite the successes we all wanted them to be. I mean, there were some that just didn't turn out too good on there. And Dave's segments where he's cooking with the late Julia Child, also very priceless, very human. In many ways, he spoke for all in his audience who weren't exactly confident in the kitchen by exposing his own imperfection, and by default, his humanity. And finally, number one, the number one thing you can learn from David Letterman to help your business, uplift those around you, especially those who help you when you're a quote-unquote nobody. This is absolutely the number one thing, in my opinion, that made Letterman most memorable. Think of the names. If you've watched Letterman, if you've watched him as long as I have, Larry Bud Melman, Chris Elliott, Paul Schaefer, Anton Zipp, Bill Wendell, Hal Gurney, Biff Henderson, Sid McGuinness, Will Lee, from the announcer to the band leader to the band members to the writers to the stage manager. Man. Growing up with this show, we felt like we knew the people who were involved and not just the host himself. You know, these were the people whose names might not otherwise be of much note, merely because they may not have been recognized. My favorite example of this, or of this uplifting, is Hello Deli, which is a deli located next door to the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York, where The Late Show has been filmed for the last 20 years or so. Apparently, Hello Deli was in danger of closing, and Letterman, you know, he and the members of his shows of his show loved their sandwiches. They started including owner Rupert G in some skits to draw attention to Hello Deli, and the business is thriving to this day. In fact, a little more than a year ago, G expressed great gratitude when he heard of Letterman's retirement announcement last year. See, this all started because the man ran a good, honest business and happened to catch the attention of someone who could draw more attention to it. Whether that person would be a nationally known personality or a locally known personality, it's all about doing your best and uplifting those around you. What you give is what you get. What goes around comes around, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm really going to miss David Letterman being on TV, and my wife is probably already tired of me bringing up his old 80s shows from YouTube on our Roku, but doggone it, I can't help it. I loved the show, and the reason I'll miss it, or really I should say the main reason I'll miss it, is because of the true human effort that the show as a whole made to connect with and serve its audience. In my opinion, it's as human of a show as has ever been on television. It didn't try to be everything to everybody. It didn't try to be all things to all people. Hell, I remember when there was a quote-unquote Save Dave petition in Baton Rouge in the early 80s because a rumor got out that the NBC affiliate was going to replace it with something else in our market. I was living near Baton Rouge at the time. And I didn't actually take part in the petition. I didn't know how to, but I was aware of it, and I know that he wound up staying on the air. Obviously, he was not taken off the air, and after some much-needed ruffling of the feathers, the show stayed on the air and went on to flourish. We can learn a lot from the success of Late Night with David Letterman. We can learn fearlessness. We can learn honesty. We can learn overcoming adversity. We can learn the value of absurdist humor. But mostly, we can all learn that we will leave a far greater, lasting, and more valuable mark if we are brave enough to be ourselves, rather than trying to be who we're told we're supposed to be. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Mind Your Business podcast, presented by Mind Development and Design and our friends at Fresh Roasted Hosting. We all really hope that you found this information to be helpful. Hope that you found it to be empowering so you can improve and get more out of your online presence. Thank you to Whiff Roasters in Lititz, Pennsylvania for the coffee and chicory. Thank you for listening on iTunes and Stitcher and for the interest on Pinterest. Make sure you send us your questions through Facebook and comment on our podcast page. Email us at info@minddnd.com or just click that vaguely autonomous ask a question button on the right side of our podcast page. And thank you for indulging me this week. I'm admittedly a David Letterman homer, but in watching some of those old episodes, it really struck me how so much of what made his show great, especially in the early days, is a lot of what we talk about here on the Mind Your Business podcast. And I want you all to be able to leave your own positive, lasting, enduring mark in your field of business. See you here next week.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business. Doobity-doo-wop-wop, say what, yeah.